Hello, and welcome to another episode of Slay, Second Language Acquisition for Everyone. I'm Bill Langley Bostick, he, him.
I am Benjamin Fisher Rodriguez, also he, him.
And today is going to be, this episode is going to be our last episode for the semester. So we'll be picking up back in January, but we're going to make sure that we're giving ourselves a break as well. So we're just going to wrap up this, I guess, season with some takeaways and some reflections. So, Ben, how do you think you gaslit yourself this semester?
How did I gaslight myself this semester? I convinced myself that I could take on a student teacher, a new college and high school curriculum, and a book study all at the same time, and that everything would just go seamlessly. But we are so happy. If you're listening to this, then we have completed the book study on social media and have even released the episode where we talked with Stacey Witkowski. That was our last episode, all about the book. It was fabulous to do the book study with colleagues. As hard as it was to find time to read, I was, busting out like an undergrad at times. But all that being said, that was a great high point for this season of Slay, and I was very happy that we did that. And also, it was very busy. So that's that. Do you want to talk about like issues of practice that we've been encountering this year, maybe?
Sure. I know that like I've got a couple things that I've tried out that I've had to modify quite a bit, but yeah, that works. You got anything off the top of your head?
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about one of my classes. It's always the one, right? Where I have these classes. I have so many classes. I would say like on a given day, three to four of my five classes are absolutely down to clown and are just like into German, super excited. And then I just have one that's so much quieter. And I have been kind of breaking my head about how to try to get them to come along for the journey of language acquisition. What joy, what wonder. And I've been trying various things with various levels of success, and it has been a fun experiment to kind of run it by my aforementioned student teacher, who is lovely. Hi, Maya. We have just been kind of like, what if we tried this, and what if we tried this, and what if we did this. Some things have worked and some things have worked a little bit less. I've been trying to craft a blog post about it. All that to say is that they just aren't latching on to the whole class communication as some classes do. They're not jumping into the like put yourself out there creativity. They're not volunteering details about their own lives and selves a lot. And so I used to really just elicit those either through whole class conversation, kind of generally geared out towards a class of like, yeah, tell me something interesting. What's going on in your lives? And kids often provide. They are more shy. They don't do that. Or I will try, calling on individual students. And even with that, I'm still getting kind of limited responses. So what I have decided to do is try different formats for connection and working with each other, in the hopes of building their confidence and comfort around each other and a kind of just like positive affect in German class. So that way, those whole class communication moments can be less painful. So, to that end, I've been doing more like, I don't know, instead of reading text as a class, it's been like, volleyball reading, or it's been, partner reading. Even if like I was having them read a text of a movie talk and I just wanted them to read through the story in German, and I just went alternate reading sentences out loud in German, start with the partner on the left side of the room, go. And even that just like did my heart good. I was like, oh, good. Like at least they're, I know they're reading fairly countably and their partner, they're going back and forth their partner. I've been having them tell their partners like good job when they do something just to like build good vibes.
Oh, that's
And then
nice.
building in more kind of like partner activities. Like I've been doing the Q&A game or the partner speaking game, which I have in my
Oh,
blog,
yeah.
just to build confidence in speaking and build the kind of like capacity and desire to stretch their speaking skills. Basically, you're just getting more points the more you say about a topic. And kids want points. And so that has been nice. And then reflecting afterwards of like, oh, I could do it. And I did do a good job just to build that feeling of self-efficacy and kind of confidence that if they open their mouths in German class, it's not going to be the end of the world. So that has been good. And then today we did retells of a movie talk, and I had them that I just like put the slideshow on automatic progression, 30 seconds per slide, and alternate back and forth saying stuff about it. And
Kind of like, what is it? Ketchup, ketchup, poocha,
Hachikucha.
It's
Yeah, that one.
a thing, what I whatever it's called, yeah.
Yeah. What's funny is I immediately understood too. I was like,
Yeah. It should, yeah,
yep.
automatic presentation, talk as long as the slides up. Yeah.
Yep. And that went well today. It kind of hiccuped in the first time I did it, but then I made a small adjustment, which was brainstorming with the whole class, like what vocabulary might come up while you're talking about this, and just
Oh,
writing it
nice.
on the board. And literally with simple stuff like the old woman, vending machine, like the sort of just like a couple verbs, couple nouns, couple adjectives, like here and there. And the production was so much more confident and better. And then as a like reflection activity, I was like, turn to your partner and tell them something they did a good job at during this. And so there was just like positive vibes.
Nice.
And so overall, and then after that, I had them create a Snapchat story from one of the characters in the movie talk, and that the production was better there too, just like more confident, more focused than the previous class. And so I think it's providing scaffolds to make sure that they know that they like have something to fall back on. Doing work in smaller groups and providing smaller opportunities for connection so that they just get used to being around these people and without like being on the stage that like in a whole class conversation. And just, yeah, having them hype each other up and have me hype them up too. Like, I got to genuinely say, like, I'm so proud of y'all. Y'all did a good job, and I hope you feel proud of yourself. So, that class, you know, I'm a bit of a comedian. And so when they like don't pick up what I'm putting down in a whole class conversation, and it's the end of the day and we're all tired and cranky and stuff anyways, I'm just like, come on, man. But I think changing the format a little bit for them has been yielding some positive results. So I'm gonna keep going on that track heading into, you know, then the second part of our semester here.
Good.
Yay. What about
That's
you?
some good
What
reflection.
was have been your struggle bussin'?
Yeah, I think so. Typically, what it goes that like I've got mostly Spanish 4 and then like one Spanish 1 class. And in the past, what's happened is I, because a vast majority of my students are Spanish 4, sometimes planning or grading for Spanish 1 gets a little bit behind. And, you know, in Spanish 1 this year, I gotta say, like, they're just like, I like them a lot. They're great.
I like my
And
ones this year.
yeah, I actually today I showed one of my Spanish 4 students like the reading that Spanish 1 did today, which was like long and complex. Like it was long. Like just reading it. So something that I've been doing with reading to make sure that kids are like following along. I think I kind of took this from you. Like I'll be reading and I'll just stop and I'll say, okay, I'm gonna just randomly stop. It's your job to say the next word. And that's gonna show me that you're with us. Like you're following along. 'Cause I used to do like the follow along with your finger thing or follow along with a pencil. 'Cause, you know, I just wanna make sure that whatever they're doing is it's visible. And so yeah, like but that didn't always work, and I wasn't really good at like managing that. But it's much easier to manage when you're like just leaving a gap in your speech, and then either you hear all of the voices or most of the voices, or you don't.
It's easier to walk around the room and then you are like hearing where it's loud and where it's not loud too, and then you can go stand where it's less loud, and then you're like, and then it gets louder there. Magic.
Yeah, I should add that in. Not that I'm like not moving around, but I like to, when we're like reading something together as a class, I like to sit backwards on a chair like one of the cool kids.
Hello, fellow kids.
Hello, fellow kids. So like that's been a like a good change that I made, I think. Still need to get better at consistency with it. Like sometimes we'll just get in the reading and I'll forget that I told them I was going to stop. And but other than that, like I don't know, like this, so my Spanish 1 kids this year, they are willing to do whatever I ask them to do, and it's marvelous. And like they allow me to take it slow. And like because in the past, and we've probably talked about this at some point, like when student interest is waning, sometimes we end up speeding up just to get through it so that the like so they don't just get bored out of their gourd, but really like they need the input, they need it slowed down, and we just need to like interact with each other. So as we're reading, like making sure comprehension checks and everything, you know. But yeah, they've been doing great, and they did this like really long reading today, and I showed it to one of my Spanish 4 students, and she was like, "Spanish 1 kids are doing this?" She's like, "You're making me feel like I'm behind." I'm like, "No, like we have spent 3 weeks on this vocabulary before we got to this point." So like it's just like a it's a specific it's got specific vocabulary because it's about a specific topic, but like no, it's also just like really repetitive, which also like the, so talking about doing this unit for like 3 weeks, something that I was struggling with earlier this year is like I just don't know where to go with these Spanish 1 kids because they're like doing things and like it's kind of I don't want to say boring, but like, when you don't have to redirect students all the time, I'm like I can just teach.
Like, we did the lesson I planned
Yeah.
in my room where I work.
Yeah, so like, you know, over the years I've tried different curricula for Spanish 1. They're all great. Mostly I've used Somos, I've used Voces, I've used a mix. But like I'm just kind of getting to this point where I want to make sure that my voice is in the units that I plan. And so I've like, and I can talk about this a little bit more later, but we had to do staff goals this year or faculty goals this year. And one of mine was to create a unit framework for Spanish 1. So that's been going, I think, well. Like I've only tried this thing once. I still don't know if I've got like the essentially I want to have like something where I can just like throw in different content, but like keep the same flow for each unit. So if I can come up with a topic, then I can or a theme, essential questions, all that stuff, then I can just throw it in this template and just go from there. So yeah, so from having like and I was having like really good success at the beginning of the year too, like with the materials that I was using. And like to the point where I was like, usually I don't grade writing in Spanish 1, at least in first semester. But like, you know, obviously giving them opportunities to having them do some quick retells and stuff. I was like, you know, I won't put this in the grade book if we're not ready for it to be in the grade book. And well, gosh darn it, they were ready. And like it was great. They were gave some like great output just based on like some picture prompts, and it was really cool.
Can I ask you about your unit framework?
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think? Because I have been my PLC has been breaking its head about planning generally.
Yeah.
What do you think are like the essential components for like a rock solid unit?
So for Spanish 4, which I've written about on my blog, I've written about the framework there. That's kind of a, I forget how many steps it is, but some sort of unit hook. Then I got this idea from, I think, Bethany Drew, which was, but this was within a Huellas unit from Carrie Toth and Somewhere to Share, the information sandwich. Essentially, take two articles, half the class reads one article, the other half reads the other article, and then they have to come together to do something with the information. And as I've been going through grad school this time around, I've been thinking a lot more about like how to teach students how to synthesize information. So, unit hook, information sandwich, then I get them to then they pair up and do some sort of collaborative writing, which we talked about in another episode. And so, and the collaborative writing is always a scaffolded version of what the final writing is going to be. So, or at least the same format. So, like, since this is Spanish 4, I want to make sure that they've had some practice with like the AP email reply. So sometimes. So if the collaborative writing is an email, the final assessment's going to be an email. If the collaborative writing is a persuasive essay or what is it called when you're just giving information? Expository? No.
Not us, not passing
Yeah,
English.
whatever. Oh crap, that's gonna bother me. Anyway, or if they're just giving
Expository essay is a
information.
type of academic writing that explains a topic objectively using facts, evidence, and clear reasoning.
Slay.
Quick Googling. We are smart, educated people. Thank you for listening.
I know the thing, I just didn't have the name. It's fine. But so then after that, after they do the collaborative writing, whatever it may be, I try to throw in a discussion day. I try to throw in a review day because even though students have worked together to hopefully synthesize some of the information from the articles, they might not all have gotten the same information. And I want to make sure that they're not just getting all the same language, but also getting the same content. Because when it comes time to do the final writing assessment, they're going to need to, I need to make sure that they know the content going into that. So that they're like, if the prompt's about Lucha Libre, like we just finished a unit on Lucha Libre, then the on by the time we get to the writing, they're not talking about something completely off the wall. Like I want to make sure that their writing remains germane. I just
Thank
threw
you.
that, but yeah, I threw that vocab in there because to make up for the expository thing. And then after that, so that takes like that's a 4 day cycle usually. And then I give at least three different resources. I'm trying to move towards making the three new resources audio resources because something that I've heard from my students that have gone on to AP is they want more listening practice. So I've been trying to do some audio resources instead of just textual resources so that I give them at least three different resources. Or a resource that includes a bunch of things. So, like a list of luchadores, a list of wrestlers, or a list of superheroes with like a little description of who they are, where they're from, what they do. And then that's when we make some infographics. So, I usually give them an entire day in class to work on the infographic, and then it's due like the next time that they have class, which we've got this weird Wednesday schedule. So I work it out. So I assign it on Tuesday. It's due Thursday before class. And then Thursday in class, they do practice presentations, and we do like simultaneous presentations. So everyone's talking at the same time. And like going back to your thing about like confidence, like, yeah, that's what I'm trying to get them to do is like, everyone's talking. Everyone's talking at the same time. Nobody's listening to anyone else but their partner, probably. Like, this is the opportunity that you have to try out the language and like take risks, make mistakes, see if you need to like negotiate meaning with your partner. Then after the infographics and after the presentations, I tried to do another discussion or another game review before we go into the final writing assessment. And something I did this last time was I gave them back their collaborative writing before the final writing and had them with their partner add new information that they learned since the beginning of the unit. So that was really cool to see. But yeah, that's been going well. And I do the practice presentations. Which I don't grade their presentations. It's really, I want it to be low stakes. I want it to just be you getting practice, like talking about something fluently.
It's good
So,
preparation for the
like,
cultural comparison.
yeah. And I also have been doing like book reports this year. So each quarter, students have to do a book report outside of class. So they pick a book from the class library. They do three comprehension activities, the comprehension activities that I got are from the comprehensible classroom. They're individual textivities. So they just choose three of those, and I say divide your book into like three sections. Do a comprehension activity for each of those sections, and then come up with some sort of presentation. And the presentation, like, completely, they've got complete creative liberty over it. So maybe, like, we just had some presentations yesterday, actually. Well, yesterday, as of when we're recording, but so students did like one student made a TikTok video. One student did red flag, green flag. So like they described, they gave like a summary of the book, and then they did like, is this action a red flag or a green flag? I had a student do if the characters were foods. And listen, okay,
Oh
so a
yeah.
student last year, a student did if the characters in the Wayside Reader, I forget if that was a Christie Placido or a Carrie Toth book, but the Frida Kahlo reader, they did Frida and all of her family as foods.
That's crazy.
Listen, this student said that Frida, well, she said Frida was a taco because, like, you take the tortilla and then you put all the things on it, and like, food is art, was what she was like trying to get at. But then she called, I forget what Frida's sister's name was, but she just called her a plain tortilla because she thought she was bland. You know
Smirching the
what?
names of these people.
You know what, though? Like, that was some like critical thinking. Like, that
They're
was some
thinking
like
about the book.
deep
Yeah, they're thinking
thinking.
about the
Yeah.
text. Yeah.
So that's great. So that's, and then they present, and I do a little Q&A afterwards, and then that's their quarter speaking grade. And so I also give them, like I said, we have this weird Wednesday schedule. So those are the days that we have presentations, so they can pick any of the Wednesday classes that they have to present. They can choose whatever book they want. They can choose whatever presentation style they want. All they have to do is like show demonstrate comprehension with the comprehension activities. And also, I mean, they're showing comprehension with the Q&A as well, because I just ask them about what happened in the book. What was the biggest conflict in your opinion? Stuff like that. That's away from your question of what components of a unit.
I
So,
was like, this is very interesting. Yeah, no, I would love to see if you have a like a unit plan or something, or even just like the outline of something, get it to me and we can put it into the show notes. It's really good.
Yeah, I've got a couple, well, all my stuff is free, but I've got a couple free units on my blog, Languagely. So I'll send you a link. I've got my superhero one there, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And I've got one that I need to revamp it because I don't like it anymore, but I liked the idea. It was about like animal companionship. And really it was just, I wanted to talk about the land of the strays in Costa Rica. It's this like, what do you call it? Like an animal sanctuary that's got like 1,000 dogs. And I just like, I really want to talk about this because it's so cool. But so I was like, oh, what do we think about it? Anyway, so yeah, I've got a couple on there, and I'll also make sure that we add the link to my blog explaining all the steps in detail.
My
But
last.
sorry, I was just gonna say, like, one of the biggest driving factors for me in that unit framework is that there's a lot of collaboration throughout.
Love to hear it. I'm gonna share one last gaslight before we talk about our gatekeep victories of the season. I have my student teacher for the first time ever, which is very exciting because I'm like, yes, people should continue to become German teachers. And one thing I've picked up is been because I am finding myself explaining a lot of my choices to her, not that she's like, what are you doing? But that like I like want her to know why I'm making a choice in the moment or in a unit or whatever. I've started kind of reflecting back that I should or I can do that more with my students as well. For instance, for my level one class, it has been lots of like core responses and lots of whatever. And I wanted to start triangling, which is not something I'm not exactly strong in generally. And so I, in the course of the story that we started yesterday, just went, hey, I'm going to ask so and so, the main character of our story, some questions, and they're going to answer as their character self in the story universe. Just so we can like be in the universe. Sound good? And everyone was like, okay. And then we did it and it like went off without a hitch essentially because I framed it with what I was doing. And I kind of explained that I was like, I want you to like feel like you're in the action and I want to like, hear from the character. The kids were down for it. The kid who I picked on, or who was the main character of the story was down for it. And just kind of explaining the why or like, I want you to read this text because I want you to feel comfortable narrating it in a retell later. I want you to be able to use this vocabulary talking about yourself. Those sorts of things have kind of made activities like kids seem to like clock in a little bit faster or just kind of do it with greater fidelity because, you know, I'm sure they have many experiences in their school day where the teacher does something and they're like, that was busy work, or like they're
Yeah,
just confronted with
100%.
mountains of work in a lot of their other classes. And there is the stress of this like looming test. And I think my class is kind of not stressful. So I think that they are like, yeah, the activities are like not that stressful. So like I don't have to like really cognitively whatever sometimes. Not all the time that, but sometimes I get that vibe, especially if there's like a math test coming. But I think just explaining like I'm having to do this for this reason has kind of
Yeah,
been really
100%.
cool. And that
Yeah.
comes out of just talking to my student teacher about like I'm having the students do this activity because it does this for them. And so it's been really cool.
Yeah, I jumped on. I've not done it as consistently as I would like, but like, make sure you have your can-do statements on the board. What if, bear with me, what if instead of looking at what you're trying to get them to do, we're giving them the reasons for the steps as well. So, like, I think exactly like you said, like, unfortunately, students sometimes do get busy work in classes. And in a class like ours that isn't as, at least outwardly, academic, knowing why we're doing things, like, I think is beneficial. And that's kind of like some people have talked about pop-up theory a little bit. Like, just, hey, we're doing this because blah, 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 and then move on. So, like, with the practice presentations that I was talking about, like, I make sure to tell them every single time, like, you are going to be doing a book report. You're going to be giving a presentation in front of the class. So this is the time to start to get comfortable and like just do Spanish. But yeah, I resonate with that. I think students more so nowadays than when I first started teaching want the reason. Like, why are we doing this? And it's like, I don't think it's like mean-spirited or anything, just like they want to know that we're not wasting their time.
Like fair.
Yeah, I don't want my time wasted either.
Shoot.
So like, I get it. All right, how about some what was ungatekept for you this season?
I was looking back at our episodes from this season, and we talked to a lot about the book study, and I think that that was kind of a nice through line for the whole semester. Was thinking about the book at intervals, you know, alternating between podcast episodes and the book study. And I think that that really made me kind of like come around to what I think my true philosophy of grammar instruction is, because I kind of got baptized in the worlds of like comprehension-based teaching in the very, I don't know how to frame it, but just the like the no grammar world, the very like untargeted, no grammar, just like all language all the time, make create the din in their head of the language such that when they open their mouth, it just falls out and they don't have to worry about it. And I knew that the way that I had learned German and Spanish and French and et cetera worked for my brain because of who I am, but that it just generally doesn't work for most students. And I'm highly motivated to learn languages in a different, you know what I mean? Like that sort of thing. Anyways, so I kind of, I was like, comprehension-based teaching is the way. And the grammar way that I learned is not the way for all students, but I always had this like question mark of like what about the grammar problem, I guess, like where does that go, where how do I do that? And I think through reading the book, I am coming back around to like it is something that I can target, like small things I can target, you know, like verb endings based on person and number or like whatever, and do it in a super meaning focused, like input heavy sort of way. With like little asides of explicit grammar talk, like, oh, the T is at the end of the verb because we're talking about one person and we use EN for multiple people. Ding the end, you know, like, and then move on. But I think that those, you know, I had done a little bit of pop-ups, my now level threes and fours. And then I did this whole like structured input lesson and was like, Archie, no. I had done this whole structured input lesson on the differences between auxiliaries and then asked the class, like, huh, what do you notice? And like, can you make up a rule? And they had remembered a pop-up that I had done previously. And I was like, oh, so it can be this simple where like I can pop this up on occasion. I can use structured input to like reinforce that in a meaning-bearing sort of way. So I can like target the things because now I'm beholden to a college textbook that is fairly dry, but is also fairly grammar heavy. And I think I can do credence to like what the college wants and be able to speak to it and have my students be able to at least, semi-articulate, like, oh, we learned that this means this. So even if it's not like in the nominative, the definite articles are like dirt, like it can be, more kid-friendly language sort of stuff, but I can still pay credence to it without sacrificing the meaning-based bit because like the German teacher grammar hammer in me is like, pull out the old grammar worksheets. And then when those go horrifically and the kids are like breaking their brains and are just like looking sad and defeated, yeah, that is such a left turn from what I have been doing. So I think there is kind of like that middle way with lots of structured input activities, which we know like Bill is paid by a big structured input. And yeah, I think with structured input activities, with, pop-ups, I think that that's kind of like my middle way that I can still pay credence again, like I said. So that was a really nice one. I think the other one that I really appreciated was the conversation with Senior Woolley. Yeah, just talking about storytelling theory and just about what are the stories that we want to tell? What do we want the students to see in the class as part of their experience? And like, can they see themselves as speakers of the language? Can they see themselves solving bizarre problems and things? But I think, yeah, those ones give me a lot of food for thought this season. What about you?
So I mean, definitely kind of in the same boat with the grammar stuff, and I've definitely been leaning into structured input more and more and more recently. On that, just today, I did some structured input stuff with Spanish One on ser versus estar, and there was just some sentences that they had to decide, which I mean, like this. What they had to decide here wasn't really communicative, but it was still meaning based because they had to understand the sentences. And then, so it was like a sentence with es, a sentence with está, and then they had to choose just like, is this describing someone's personality or their characteristics, or is it describing someone's emotion or location? So like, and if you teach Spanish, you might know doctor and place for like acronyms to remember when to use ser and estar. But as we know in language, the rules are way too abstract to always fit into something so nice. So I just took, like, I was just very intentional with the sentences that I chose. So I knew that there would be ones with just location. They were talking about location. I knew there were going to be things about talking about people's jobs or their personalities, and they just read through those. There's like eight sentences. They marked like what information was being conveyed, and then I just like did a little attention to form a little bit, like what word for is did we use to talk about how people were feeling? What word for is did we use to talk about what someone's job was? And ideally, like that's not like the best follow-up, but it drew attention to form in a communicative way because it was still review of what we were doing. Like, and or another one that we did was like matching characters with what they want, and then like a follow-up question, whose motivations are in conflict with each other? So we had watched También la lluvia, even the rain. Great film. And it's got a couple of timelines going on. So there's like this film crew making a movie about Christopher Columbus. And so sometimes we see parts of the movie, sometimes we see behind the camera. But then also going on behind the scenes was the water war of Cochabamba, Bolivia. And so then, like, we also talked about like, okay, well, this is the story of Colón that they are telling, and this is the story of Cochabamba that is going on. Like, how are those similar and whatnot? And how did the motivations, how did Christopher Columbus's motivations match with the Bolivian government's motivations, or at least the private company that was selling water? And like, were those in conflict and stuff like that? So we talked about And that would be more communicative, right? Rather than just talking grammar stuff. So definitely structured input is something that I've leaned into even more this year than previously. And additionally, I think it was 2 episodes ago on the episode about interaction, when we were talking, you said something about, which maybe was from the article. I don't remember if it was from the article or if it was a you thought, but the synonym stacking
Stack up your cinnamon
to,
sticks.
yeah, has really helped me stay more in the target language. Like that is something that really resonated, and that was something that was like just really actionable for me. So even in Spanish one, so like I feel a little bit of freedom to use maybe a little less high frequency vocabulary because I know that I'm going to stack some synonyms on top of it. And those synonyms are probably going to be cognates because I don't want, like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like using too many cognates is not as authentic as the communication could be. So just by using one word and then giving synonyms, that's really helped me stay in the target language while also giving additional exposure to the sentences and phrases that we're using in class. So
That is
I
definitely
think that was my
so
big one.
I didn't pull that from the article in that instance, but I did learn that from Dr. Benico Mason, whose story listening is her story listening guided self-selected reading is her method. And yeah, or approach. And yeah, that definitely, I think that is a good way to provide richer input and kind of build universes of words. And that's a, you know, if my understanding of how vocabulary is learned is that it is this complex web of like interlinking meanings of, oh, these words to go together and are used in these different situations. And so, yeah, I think that can be a great way to build out that richness of input. I think the other episode for me that I was like proud of or very thoughtful about was the pronunciation pedagogy one about anti-racist pronunciation pedagogy and just thinking about how honoring like my students' pronunciations and listening to them deeply and trying, you know, trying with all our benevolence to be the sympathetic listener. And then conveying to them that kind of same philosophy of like, yeah, listen deeply to people and come in with a goodwill. And that can do a lot to curb linguistic racism, is just like the trying to understand people, period, both from like a sonic way, but also in from a like empathetic sort of human way, I think is really powerful. And it has made any stresses I've had about student pronunciations where they say something that you're like, woo, that's crazy. It has made it just more like, oh, isn't language fun? Like, there's so many different sounds, there's so many different languages, and like people bring all sorts of experiences to their language class, and that's a beautiful thing. And so, you know, letting go of all the like stress and pressure I put on myself, and instead making it what it is, which is just like a delightful thing to know another language. Yeah, let's
I'm
grow,
trying to
boss.
think. Yeah, let's go, boss.
Let's grow, boss. What is absolutely What are you slaying this semester? What are you absolutely?
So I do think that I'm gonna have time for like one more unit this semester. And so that'll have put me at like 4 units for Spanish 4, like following this framework that I've been working with, and I think that's been going pretty well. Like I said, like it's having a framework just makes it so much easier to take student interests and turn them into an educational experience. Like today, just like having a little bit of like meta conversation about language learning and stuff, and like in Spanish 4, hey, if you're gonna go on to AP next year, like first, I just want you to know that like all of the units that we do are based in the 6 themes and sub-themes from AP. So we just like took a look at like, okay, which one of the themes have we covered? Not covered, but have we touched on? And which ones haven't we? And maybe any ideas from the sub-themes that you might be interested in looking at. So today's student was like, oh, how like looking at like beauty and aesthetics, how about architecture? I was like, all right, slay. I'll build something and whatever.
I'd be like, buildings.
Well, yeah, well, because, you know, like Spanish teachers are probably familiar, and other people, of course, are probably familiar with like La Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. It's just like this huge cathedral, like a masterpiece of architecture, and it should be finished next year, I think. Anyway, so like I know that I want to pull that in somewhere, but I also want to pull in like the indigenous pyramids, Machu Picchu, Chichen Itza, and like talk about like the architecture of that. But I'm not sure where I'm going to go with that. So I texted one of my friends that's got a degree in architecture to be like, hey, help me figure out why should you learn about architecture? And like, what does it say about the world around us?
I tell you something super random that is like my only architectural slay that I have in the world is that the city of Vienna in the like late 1800s was built like many medieval cities where like the church, the marketplace, I think, and the castle are all like in one concentrated hub, like right in the middle. And so like, you know, there's trading, you need trading, you need the religion, and you need the king. And then there would be essentially like a ring around a medieval town to be like defensible space. And then there would be like the suburbs where, you know, the farmers are doing all the stuff, whatever. In the late 1800s, medieval warfare was becoming less of a thing. And so the city of Vienna was like, let's turn this ring into a ring street and build a bunch of like iconic buildings there that we can use for the purposes of this like city that is coming to being this like more metropolitan feel, more, you know, modern, industrialized, whatever. And so they built many major buildings around that in the styles of architecture that they like hearkened to the advancements of. And so, like, the government buildings were done in like the Greek classical style to be like, ah, classical Greek architecture symbolizes the rise of democracy and like the ideals of like blah, blah, blah. And the library is done in the style of the Renaissance because that's when a lot of knowledge came into the world and like, no. And so the buildings, the way that the buildings were built in the Viennese Ring Street were done to kind of symbolize the like progress of history and the like iconicity of these like architectural styles. And I just thought that was neat. And also, Sigmund Freud used to wander around the Ringstrasse as just like a fun little thing. So, listener, if you're asleep now, then you're welcome. And if not, then maybe that's thing. So maybe, I don't know, maybe there's all that to say, maybe there's something in the Spanish speaking world of like, what does the architecture of a place say about its like ambitions or like its image of itself or something? I don't know.
I mean, even like, this is just like a side thought, maybe connected, I don't know, but like Olympic stadiums,
Oh,
like,
totally, yeah.
you know, because, you know, the Olympic stadiums want to represent the city that they're in, they want to represent the culture that they're in, while also like bringing everyone together and for sports.
The Berlin Olympic Stadium has a very fascinating tour because it was built for the 1936 Olympics, and you will recall who was in power in Germany in 1936. And so there were many parts of the iconography that are straight up ugly because it was made by Nazis, but they wanted it that way because their vision of Germany was this like grand Germanic blocks of cement ugliness. So it and that still stands now and is used for something else. It's used as a soccer stadium and concert space and stuff like that, but the architecture of that sure is interesting.
And then I've got two other things that, like, I'll call them girl bosses, but like, it's just some couple things that I'm really proud of. No, I have three things. So one, I was really proud of our episode with Wooly. Like that was just really fun. And two, super proud of the blog that I wrote for the Educational Knowledge Broker Network about podcasters as intermediaries. Like, I think that's like a top tier pride moment for me. And then just yesterday, for the first time, our school awarded the Global Seal of Biliteracy, which was a project that had been working on since like April or May since of last year or of last school year. And we probably, so for context, our school probably has about 400 or so students, and maybe a little bit more, but about 40 students from Spanish, Chinese, and French got the Global Seal of Biliteracy, including like five students got working fluency, which is advanced low.
Okay.
So like I was really, really proud to be able to bring that to our school. And
What do
like
you miss,
just
Diva Miss Girl?
and just like now being able to see like when I see the kid, because obviously I didn't have all the kids in class. So like now when I see the kids, I can be like, congrats. Also, don't forget to stop by and scan this QR code so you can get your digital certificate.
That's awesome. I love that for
Yeah.
you and for your students, for your community. Like, what a cool thing.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Nice,
How about you?
nice, nice.
Or did you already
Yeah,
go, boss? Did you already go over? No, I don't know.
I think that managing the things that I'm managing has felt very girl boss to me, where like after my ACTFL Teacher of the Year candidacy year, I kind of like took a step back from a couple different things. And this year I'm kind of like ramping back up and doing more stuff on my own blog and then going back to conferences. And having the student teacher really feels like a cool, I don't know, vote of confidence from the entities that be that like I could train a teacher to go forth and do the job. And that has just been really wonderful learning experience for me and growth experience for me to articulate my why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's been very powerful for me to close feedback loops on things that aren't working. Like if something doesn't work, I just like turn to her and I'm like, girl, that didn't work. And I saw this kid doing this and I saw this happening. And then even just doing that step usually starts because of the way our brains work, right? Being like, well, what if I did this? And then you do that and then it's successful and then you're like, haha. So closing that feedback loop feels very slay. I have like had the thought for years in teaching of like the reflection is the most important part that makes us better. And we need to make space for that. Like I talked about leaving my journal open on my desk, my teaching journal, that is just like a way to make myself jot stuff down. And having your PLC community to be able to process and stuff like that, but there just is never enough time. And so I think having the person in the room has been very powerful for me to close that loop. And yeah, with her charting a course between, you know, between traditional language learning, which we've both been subjected to at various times, and then, you know, more modern proficiency-based teaching has made me sharpen my thinking about it a little bit more. And it's just been a grand old time. I don't think if there's any other girl bosses I've had that. Oh, I think my final girl boss of the year is just feeling happy and a little bit relieved at my enrollments in German at my school, which when I started at my current school, I had three sections of German, one of each level, one, two, three, no level four students. And I had 80 some odd students. And I now this year have 165 different students enrolled in German, which is a 90% increase, which I feel very thrilled about because hello, job security, one. But two, I think I've kind of done the work to make German at my school a comfortable place for kids to be, a happy place for them to be, an inspiring place for them to be. And that feels really, really meaningful to kind of see the fruits of all those years of labor of, you know, teaching two different languages and four different preps or five different preps at a time kind of pay off in this way. And that there are so many kids involved in German and that it's just very robust. And it's been a really hard time for our department in at my school, for our district, for our state, for our country, for language learning. And I remain convinced that I've had lots of good luck and lots of good help, but that the focus that I've put on inclusive practices, on proficiency-based teaching, on comprehension-based teaching, on community and joy have really paid off for German learners in my community. So I'm happy about that. And I know every year it feels fragile because we're at the whims of, you know, a bunch of 13-year-olds choosing their language coursework into high school, but I remain grateful for that. And I'm very thrilled with the kids that I get to serve every day because they're wonderful. They're so fun.
Great.
Yay.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
All right, friends. Well, that's going to be it for us until 2026. That doesn't sound like a real year.
Nope.
I don't believe
Crazy.
it.
If our
But
listeners have
again,
any research topics or articles that you're interested in us diving into, we're always happy to hear it. Go ahead and contact us through the website or at our email address, which Bill is about to say.
info at slaypod.com. That's SLAYYYPOD.com.
Otherwise, we are always happy for any feedback. And again, the reminder that if you missed the book study entirely, or you read chapter one and then it's been 3 months and all of a sudden you're like, oh no, you're not alone. You are
Definitely
welcome
not.
to
That
slow
was my
chat the book
gaslight.
study.
That was my gaslight, thinking I could do a book study.
Whoopsie daisy. No, but if people want to slow chat, Bill, if people would like to slow chat the book, then you're welcome to just, on the posts on Blue Sky, like quote tweet them on Facebook, just go back to the threads, find them for each chapter and comment on them.
Same on
It
Instagram,
reignites.
should be.
Yeah, they're on Instagram too. Just go find the posts and comment on them. It brings them back up in people's feeds and the conversation can continue. And we're always happy to hear feedback. And we wish you all a restful end to the year. And we'll see you in January.
So until then, just go out and slay.
Bye.
Bye.